Now we're going to have a special surprise guest with a special surprise announcement. And so, sir, why don't you go ahead and reintroduce yourself to the great KPQ audience? They know your name and they know your voice, but let's let them hear it one more time.
Well, I'm Arch Ecker. I'm the radio play-by-play voice of the Wenatchee Wild. And as we've just announced about 20 minutes ago, officially, the Wenatchee Wild broadcasts are moving back on to KPQ and the Cherry Creek Media family of stations. So we're very excited to be reunited with KPQ and looking forward to a great season following obviously a record-setting season last year.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got in at the right time, I think, because the level of excitement for the Wenatchee Wild after last season is probably off the charts, especially with the success not only in that with winning Fred Page Cup, and then you win the Doyle Cup, and then you go into the RBC Cup, and to perform so well for so long. Last year had to be a lot of fun as a broadcaster to go through and be part of that.
You know, it really was. As it went on, it just started to just become almost surreal because the guys just refused to lose. And we got into situations that looked fairly dire, and somehow that club just continued to find ways not to lose. And then you just went on, and then, you know, it's the nature of sport, really. I mean, look at any sport, any level. Major League Baseball got, 30 teams? Only one team's going to win. I mean, it's right. 29 of those teams. At the end of the year, they're kicking rocks and going, well, golly, you know.
If only.
And, right, and we got 17 teams in the BCHL, and that means 16 of them are, at the end of the year, disappointed. And so you almost, you know, and I've been doing this, this is my 23rd season. After a while, you know, you just almost, just and as a matter of self-preservation, you almost start to just cushion yourself for that inevitable fall, because
right.
it almost always comes. And so, you know, you kind of got that going on mentally, but then all of a sudden, you know, it's maybe this time, right? You know, Charlie Brown with the football, but guess what? This time, Lucy didn't yank it away.
She didn't.
No, Charlie Brown booted that thing right through the uprights, and we got to lift that Fred Page Cup on home ice in front of a screaming throng of fans at Town Toyota Center. Man, what a night, what an experience, not just for us as a staff, but for the players and really for the community. I mean, so many people have talked about that night and how electric the atmosphere was in the building the night we won the Fred Page Cup. So, yeah, definitely, you know, all cylinders are firing, and we're feeling pretty good about things. And but then again, you know what? The old, what have you done for me lately, rises its head. Now, guess what? A new season's coming, and everybody's got goose eggs on the board. So we start from scratch, and, you know, got to earn it all over again.
What was it? I saw the picture the Wild posted, and I can't remember if it was on you probably posted it, but probably on Twitter or maybe on Facebook or both, and it shows the Fred Page Cup adorned with the Wenatchee Wild name, the names of the players, the names of the coaching staff. And then, this is something I've never, as a play-by-play broadcaster myself, never been a part of. You got to see play-by-play Arch Ecker.
Yeah.
What was it like to see your name on that?
You know, and that's another one of the surreal aspects of it all is, and to be honest, I don't even know if I really have fully, I don't know, absorbed it all. Because it's such an honor to be included in something like that, in a trophy that is, for all intents and purposes, it's timeless. I mean, the thing goes on, and you know, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, whatever, somebody's going to be competing for that trophy, and your name's on it. Man, that's an unbelievable achievement. And you know what? I mean, I'm just grateful, really, at the end of the day. I mean, Bliss Littler, and I've known him for a long time. When I first started calling games back in 1996 in Butte, Montana, he was coaching the Billings Bulls. I was working for the Butte Irish. And that's when I first met Bliss. And 3 years ago, he offered me the opportunity to come here to Wenatchee. I was working in Topeka at the time. But, you know, he believed in me and thought that, you know, you're part of the puzzle that we're assembling here. We'd love to have you. And that opportunity, I mean, it's paid off. So Bliss's belief in me, and the effort from the players on the ice that it's, I mean, it's their trophy. I'm just the guy. I'm just the megaphone, the mouthpiece, you know, blabbing about what they were doing. But to be included in all of that is, boy, it's very humbling, very flattering, and I'm just extremely grateful.
Talking with Arch Ecker, the play-by-play voice of the Wenatchee Wild, in case you missed the very top of the show. We announced today that the Wenatchee Wild have returned home. It feels like they're returning home to News Radio 560 KPQ. That begins next week, so you'll be able to hear all those games right here on KPQ. I think we still have to, I don't know all the details in terms of if there's Cougar games or something, but I let that to other people, but, I know we're super excited to have you guys back, and, tell me a little bit about sort of like your broadcast. I'm a year and a half here. So in terms of my time here, I didn't get an opportunity to, you know, be part of the Wild on KPQ, so you can maybe educate me. I and probably everybody else already knows it, but tell me a little bit about the broadcast, like how do you structure it? What's the kind of the cool things that you enjoy about doing this?
Well, that's an interesting question. I suppose, you know, I don't know. I guess if you put 20 broadcasters in a room, maybe to some extent you'll get 20 different answers to that question. But on the flip side, I mean, there's certain components that are going to be part and parcel of it no matter where you go. And, you know, your basic pregame show and postgame show with some highlights. And, you know, and once the puck drops, I mean, the game calls itself. You just dictate what you see. But, I don't know. I try to paint a picture. It's really what it's all about because, you know, for your radio audience, they don't have the opportunity most times to be able to watch along, although some people do bring a radio to the games and they like to have that extra little bit of information in their ear while they're watching live at the arena. But for the most part, you got people in their cars, they're sitting at home or listening on their phones, which, you know, God, 10 years ago, that wasn't hardly happening, right? But now people can listen to the live stream wherever they are. But I'm trying to paint a picture to where people can visualize without having to be there. So it's a picture without a picture. And, you know, I'll try to use descriptive terms, you know, the far side and the near side and left to right and whatnot. I mean, again, it almost seems rudimentary, but at the same time, really, that's the goal. You're trying to paint a picture. And, it seems to be working. I've received some pretty good comments over the years. And, you know, I'll tell you the best comments and praise that I really value is when I get it from the other team. Because sometimes, I mean, you know, your own team's going to love you, and it doesn't matter. I've seen some broadcasters that might have been a little rough around the edges, and their fans love them, right?
They're right.
Like,
oh yeah.
He's the greatest. You know, so I know our fans are going to say, oh, Arch, you're great, whatever. But, you know, when the opposing teams and the opposing team's fans and families and whatnot, sometimes they don't get to listen to their own guy. They have to listen. Maybe they don't have a stream, so they're listening to my call. And when they compliment how I deliver a game, and boy, you really take those to heart because those people have nothing to gain and they have no reason to be nice to you other than they really honestly believe it. So I don't know. That's what it's all about. I just put the headset on and I just go like heck and hope for the best.
I get that part of it, but I wanted to paint a little picture. I can understand you to a certain extent having done this. Gosh, I've been calling games now for almost 8 years at various levels, mostly high school, but and college. But I've done this for a long time, and it is, it really is. I still think there is nothing greater that I enjoy doing more than getting the headset on in front of a sporting event and starting to talk.
It's really weird for me to go to a hockey game and not be wearing a headset. I don't know what to do with myself.
Yeah, right?
And I find myself kind of, I don't know, blurting out, you know, phrases along the way.
In your
or
head.
At least in my head, or sometimes even out loud if somebody's within range.
Doing it in your head. That's where I end up doing it. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Arch Ecker, play-by-play voice of the Wenatchee Wild. The Wild returning home to KPQ this upcoming season. First game of the year, a week from Friday. They'll be on the road in Vernon. News Radio 560 KPQ time, 1225.
KPQ.com.
It's Radio 560, KPQ time, 1229. Kevin Rounce talking with Arch Ecker, the play-by-play voice of the Wenatchee Wild. The Wenatchee Wild coming back to KPQ. They're going to be broadcasting all of their games right here on 560. It begins a week from Friday, Arch.
That's pretty quick, isn't it?
Yeah, it just feels like, bang, it's going to be right here. It's crazy. It's how quickly this is coming.
Yeah, and well, and I guess the reason, obviously, was how deep we went in the postseason.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that we played until, May 20th or so, I mean, that definitely will shorten your summer in a hurry, but you know what, if that's the trade-off, I'm pretty sure we'd be willing to take it again.
Absolutely. When you look at the team for this year, obviously, there's a lot of guys that have moved on, but there's a lot of guys that are returning too. Tell us about the 2018-2019 Wenatchee Wild.
You know what's interesting? So you go back 2 years ago and you look at that team and you got the guys like Brendan Harris and you had Charlie Combs. You had a lot of veterans, Troy Conzo, Matt Baker, Colin Burston, all of those guys. all of them now playing Division I college hockey. But that team was pretty well stacked, and it was expected to do very well, and they did. They won the President's Cup, which is called the Ron Boileau Memorial Trophy, best regular season record, top seed overall. Ended up coming up a little short in the playoffs, partially because of injuries and whatnot. You see so many of those guys move on, and then you're looking at the next year, and you're going, boy, we sure lost a lot of firepower, right? Well, then guess what happened? We come back, and we end up winning the whole league. So, yeah, we lost Jasper Weatherby, and we've lost Vanderbeck, and we've lost Sammy Morton, and a lot of these big producers that have gone on to play college hockey. But you know what? We got a fresh stable of players that are coming in, and we got some guys that really have some jam to their game, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And you know, and what's really fun year to year is to watch the teams develop, not just as a team, which is of course intriguing and fun, but you just watch guys individually, some of the traits they show early and how their strengths blossom over the course of a season. And with the coaching staff we've got, I mean, they're pretty deep and long in the tooth as far as helping players develop their game and grow their strengths. And so with that, you get to watch these guys, and so many times they come in, you know, maybe a little wide-eyed and young. And when they walk out of here, boy, the transformation just in the span of 8 to 9 months is huge. It's enormous. And so it's always a great pleasure just to watch that grow.
Yeah. When you're 17, 16, 17, 18 years old. Yeah. It's amazing how much. Give us some names of some guys to watch. They could be returners who maybe you think are going to now step up into a bigger role, or maybe some new faces, something maybe you've seen, especially over the weekend against Trail, that you guys were doing some of that preseason stuff for.
Well, certainly, one of the key returners is going to be Lucas Sauter. He had just a tremendous year last year, and we expect obviously great things from him this year. And got a good handful of guys coming back. Some guys like Jackson Wozniak, who was, you know, it was kind of a support role guy. Again, going back 2 years ago, you know, your Weatherby, Sauter, and Morton, they didn't play a whole lot. They were, you know, sort of the bottom of the pecking order. But last year, they all rose up and had just tremendous seasons with phenomenal output. So this year, then you get the guys like the defenseman Drake Usher, who last season maybe he didn't get a lot of ice time, but every time he did play, he was responsible and certainly a guy that was very low risk to have on the ice. So we expect to see good things from him this year. Josh Arnold's been a lot of fun to watch and continue to grow. He's one of those players, as his confidence grows, his game accelerates as well. Along with that, we've picked up a few guys that are going to make some impact right away. I think Matt Gashevsky is going to be one of them. He played a few games with Penticton last year at some time in the USHL. But Matt Gashevsky's and you'll notice him when he's out there, because he throws a long shadow. He's a big, big, tall, wide-shouldered guy. Just like Jake Vaughn is another one that I think that fans will notice right away. We've always been a very small, fast team. this year, maybe a little bit bigger. And it wasn't really a recipe that was thought about, let's try to get bigger. It just sort of happened that as you go through the process of trying to identify players that not only can contribute on the ice, but fit within the fabric of the culture that we have here with the Wenatchee Wild, when you put all those things together, you end up what you end up with. And we ended up being a little bit bigger team this year. And of course, Jacob Modrey returning on the blue line. He's another guy. Chad Sasaki's coming back. So, you know, and I hate to leave anyone out. Austin Park as a goaltender. He's coming back for his second year. We got a first year goalie, Cal Sandquist, who had a very strong weekend against Trail. So, you know what? We got a lot of guys in camp. There's 27 of them here now. We have to get it down to 23. It's going to be tough. The fans are all saying it, but nobody wants to be in the coach's shoes right now to have to try to make those decisions. Because, I mean, we've got 27 players here who can play. They can all play, but the league says you can only have 23. So what do you do? Four of them got to move on. And, you know, and one thing to our coaching staff's credit is they don't just, you know, hand you a bus ticket and say, see you later. They'll do what they can to help those players find another avenue, find somewhere else to play, put them in a good spot to help them grow and succeed rather than just saying, well, you didn't make it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's important too. I think the more the coaches show the compassion and the caring for a player, the more you're going to get some of those players that they're debating between a couple of three different locations. Maybe that is the tipping point when it comes to bringing them to Wenatchee. So
yeah, and you know what? It's a battle out there because it's really a player's market. If you're a player that can score goals, you've got 12 teams calling you, maybe more. They all are pitching their best spiel at you. Come play for us. This is what I'll do for you. But the best salesmanship out there is word of mouth from players that have lived it. And so when our players come here and either go through the whole program and move on to college or come here and then maybe don't make the initial cut but get guided and helped to move on somewhere else, that word, you know, it permeates through the web of junior hockey, and everybody knows it. They know that Wenatchee is a safe place to go. It's a desirable place to go, not just because we have a pretty good record of winning hockey games, but because we have a wonderful record of treating people right.
Second to last question. The road is the start for the first month of the year. That's kind of the way it has been for the Wenatchee Wild. So you guys are on the road starting next Friday on the 7th. First home game, October 12th. Close your mind and kind of close your eyes and think about what that atmosphere is going to be like. How electric is it going to be that night?
Well, you know, it should be vibrant in the building. We've got three championship banners to hang, one for the Interior Conference Championship, one for the Fred Page Cup, and then one for the Doyle Cup. For the players that are returning that participated last year, their championship rings will be presented to them on the ice prior to the game. Of course, the trophies will be there, and it's just a great chance for Wild Nation to come together and one more time just celebrate the accomplishments of last year's club. And our ownership will be here. David and Lisa White are flying in. You know, all signs are pointing right towards that night, and it's far enough away that it's not going to rise up and shock anyone. It's not going head-to-head with Wenatchee or Eastmont playing football that night. So everything is just, it's coming together like the perfect storm in a good way. And so, yeah, that night we expect it to be tremendous. And we'll already be 11 games deep into the season, so the players will have had the opportunity to sort of go through their bonding process. And, you know, and they should be playing a pretty good brand of hockey. Sometimes that first game out can be a little touch and go as they're sort of finding their ways with line combinations and whatnot, but you know, I'll tell you what, by the time we get to October 12th, you're going to be having a well-oiled hockey machine on the ice and a great atmosphere all around. We got a lot of things besides the things I mentioned that we're still kind of working on behind the scenes to make that night fantastic for everyone in attendance.
Any needs still for billet families? You guys, how you guys doing on that?
Tell you what, you know, there's always need for billet families. You know, even when every player's got a home, you know, people that are interested should always reach out and check in with us because, I mean, there's things where sometimes maybe a player gets injured and we have to bring in another player, and maybe we're already, everybody's booked up. They don't have an extra bedroom, and so we still need somewhere for that player to go. Plus, we've got our development teams coming along. Now, we have the U18s, U16s, and U14s. The 18s, they billet as well, like the Wild do, so players come from all over, and they stay with billet families. So that's a whole other team in addition to the Wild that has billeting needs. The younger development teams are typically, that's a like weekend-only kind of things where players all live within a couple hours away, and they'll drive in for the weekend and go through their deal. But, yeah, billet families, it's an amazing experience. In fact, it's funny because when you called earlier, I was on the phone with a kid that I used to billet. He lived with me when I was working in Butte. His name's Joseph Budai. His brother's Peter Budai, plays for the L.A. Kings now. Used to play with Tampa, and he was with Montreal, and actually the Avalanche for several years, so he's kind of been around a long time. But the reason I bring that up is that the relationships that you build with the kids that you billet, I mean, they're lifelong relationships. It's not just a, you know, come into my house and I got a spare room. There's your, you come in the side door and I won't see you. I mean, you really, the players ingrain into the family. Go with them to church. Go help with chores. Go to little Timmy's piano recital. Whatever it happens to be. I mean, everybody blends together and you live as a family. And it's incredibly rewarding, as anyone that's billeted will tell you. So it's, if you're interested in it, then give our office a call. Ask for Chris Clark or Ryan McKelvey, and they'll be more than happy to help you out. 888-7825-888-PUCK. It's easy.
Arch Ecker, play-by-play voice of the Wenatchewan, thank you so much for swinging by today. We are so excited to have you back on our airwaves here on KPQ. Pump for the season. A week from Friday, go Wild, I guess, right?
Go Wild. You got that right.
If you guys aren't at the rink, make sure you tune in to KPQ. If you want to bring a radio along, by all means, you'll hear the dulcet tones of Arch Ecker. And, of course, season tickets, billet families, all that information can be tracked down through the Wenatchewan Wild office. Best of luck to you this season, Arch. We look forward to working with you.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for having me.